turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 Peter chapter 2. We'll be reading a couple of verses there in just a moment. I've had this date marked on my calendar for some time and really been looking forward to it. I've known Bruce and Rachel for a number of years, consider them good friends, but I've known a lot of people here in this congregation for a long time. And so much looking forward to being with you, and those of you who I do not know as well, and maybe some of the newer members, I'm looking forward to getting acquainted with you. And I know Tracy, my wife, she's looking forward to getting acquainted with all of you. But we know that this is not merely a social visit here this week, but that we are here in order to study the Word of God together. And if you have any questions about anything that you hear this morning or during the course of this gospel meeting, then please let me know and I'd be happy to discuss anything with you. Tonight, when we meet at 5 o'clock this afternoon, we're going to be studying the subject of worry. Jesus said, "Do not worry." So we're going to be looking at some things from Matthew chapter 6 and the Sermon on the Mount, which, if we will remember, will help us to deal with the problem of worry in our lives. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, Peter said, "You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." And then dropping down to the 9th verse, he said, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Peter, in addressing just plain ordinary Christians like you and me, he said, "You are a royal priesthood." In verse 5, "You are a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." I'm going to talk to you for just a little while this morning about offering sacrifices to God. Now, somebody might say, "Well, now that's just an Old Testament study, offering sacrifices to God. We do not have sacrifices today that pertain to the New Covenant." Well, now, it's true that offering sacrifices, that is an Old Testament study. You go back to the Old Testament Scriptures and the priest took the sacrifices and offered them up before God. Yeah, that's an Old Testament study. But it's just not true that offering sacrifices is not a New Testament study, because it is. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, and in the 4th verse, the Hebrew writer said, "It is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins." And then in verses 11 and 12 he said, "And every priest," now it would be the Old Testament priest, "every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God." Folks, we have one supreme sacrifice that was offered by our high priest about 2,000 years ago. And somebody says, "Well, then when it comes to offering sacrifices, that's the end of it." No, I say that's the beginning of it. And now, as priests, we are to continue to offer up spiritual sacrifices unto God. The text there in 1 Peter chapter 2 says that we're priests. Every one of us who are Christians, we're a priest. And the clergy-laity system, which exists in the denominational world, that just does not exist in the teaching of the New Testament Scriptures. And this idea that the prayer of a clergyman, so-called, the prayer of a preacher at the bedside of a sick person, if that rises just a little bit higher, or that when a preacher baptizes somebody, well, that's just a little bit more saving, I'll tell you, that's hogwash. Because the text says that we're all priests expected to offer up spiritual sacrifices unto God. But the question is, what kind? We're a priest. We've established that. But what kind of sacrifices are we to offer unto God? That's the subject of our study this morning. And I say that we are to offer unto God the sacrifice of praise. In Hebrews chapter 13, verses 12 through 15, Hebrews 13, beginning with verse 12, the Hebrew writer said, "Therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Therefore by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." This says that we are to offer unto God the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Let me ask you, have you been doing that this morning? Let me say, by the way, I really appreciate your singing here. Thank you so much. I really enjoyed it and profited from it. And it's easy to get up here and preach when you have singing like that. But have you been in the song service this morning offering unto God the sacrifice of praise? You might say, well, my lips moved. I didn't ask you that. I said, did you offer unto God the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of your lips giving thanks and gratitude unto God? You know, during the song service this morning, I could have been sitting there in that pew thinking about my occupation so that I forgot to offer unto God the sacrifice of praise. And my occupation is a gospel preacher. I could have been sitting in that pew this morning thinking about how I would begin this sermon, or thinking about how I would end this sermon, and just forgot to offer unto God the sacrifice of praise. If during the song service you're thinking about your occupation or about anything other than the message of the song that we're singing, you need to remember that we have a God in heaven who is expecting us to offer unto him the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips. But notice something else in this verse, Hebrews 13:15. He said, "Therefore by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name." Folks, we ought to have hearts that are full of gratitude and praise and thanksgiving to God every day we live on this earth. And it shouldn't be just on Sundays and Wednesdays when we come together at a building like this that we're thinking about God. The rest of the week we're thinking about how we're going to make more money or how we're going to be entertained. We need to be thinking about God every day that we live on His earth. It shouldn't be a matter of coming to this building and when we do that we just kind of flip on the switch and then start thinking about God all at once. Somebody says, you know, I need help thinking about God. I need help when I come together on the Lord's Day focusing on the Lord's Supper. I need help when I come together with other Christians concentrating on the message of the song or the message of the sermon. Well, here's something that can help you to do that. Make sure that your mind is focused on God every day that you live on His earth. And that'll help you in your congregational worship. But here's a second thing that we need to consider when we think about offering sacrifices unto God. Offering to Him the sacrifice of our possessions. In the book of Philippians, chapter 4, beginning with verse 15, Paul said, "Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. Now, Epaphroditus was their messenger. Messenger of the brethren at Philippi, through whom the church there sent material aid to the Apostle Paul, a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this contribution for the preaching of the gospel was considered a, look in verse 18, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. You know, when it comes to the giving of our money on the first day of the week for the preaching of the gospel and other authorized works of the Lord, this is not just a material transaction. Like when you go to the grocery store and you get the shopping cart and you're pushing the shopping cart and you throw the items inside the cart, and then when you're through, you go to the cashier and you hand the cashier your money. Now, that's a material transaction. But when you put your money in the collection plate on the Lord's Day, that's not just a material transaction. But that really is an offering unto the Lord. In fact, we call it that sometimes, don't we? It is an offering unto the Lord. And you know, if we would think of it that way, it might be that the brand and the quality of the offering would improve. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7, Paul said to the brethren at Corinth, 2 Corinthians 8, verse 7, "But as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also." He said, abound, as you have abounded in faith. Now, abound means to overflow or to excel. And as you have just excelled in the matter of faith and speech and knowledge and diligence and love, see that you abound, that you overflow and excel in this grace also. What's he talking about? In the context, he's talking about the subject of giving. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, he said, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." So God wants us to give from cheerful hearts, but we also need to understand the difference between giving sparingly and giving bountifully. What if we were living under the old covenant system, back there in the Old Testament, and we brought unto God this weak, sickly, blind animal, and we said, "You know, God, I really doubt that I'll get a whole lot of good out of this. Here, you can have it." I tell you, we'd be lucky to get out of there without being burned with fire and brimstone. And we need to understand that when we give of our money on the first day of the week, it really is an offering unto the Lord. And we should want it to be, again, as we borrow the words of Paul in Philippians 4:18, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. Offering to God the sacrifice of praise, offering to God the sacrifice of possessions, and thirdly, offering to God the sacrifice of service. Now let's go back to Hebrews chapter 13. A while ago we read in verse 15 how we were to offer unto God the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips. Now in verse 16 he said, "But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased." With what kind of sacrifices? With such sacrifices God is well pleased, but what's he talking about? Doing good and sharing. With such sacrifices God is well pleased. Did you know that dish of food that you prepared and sent over to someone's house because this person was ill? Did you know that that was a sweet smelling savor unto the Lord? Did you know that that house that you cleaned and dusted for some person who is incapacitated, couldn't do it for himself, that that was an acceptable sacrifice unto the Lord? And, you know, people in the world, they see that kind of service rendered to others, and even people in the world sometimes appreciate that. It's praiseworthy even in their eyes. We know for sure it's praiseworthy in the eyes of God. God sees that kind of service. God sees it and God accepts it. You know, I heard a story. This really happened back several years ago. There was this woman. She went to the grocery store one day. And as she walked in the store, she noticed across the way that there was this young lady who was crippled. Her hands were drawn up. And she had her little girl with her, a real pretty little girl standing by her side. And the woman who's a member of the church, she decided to walk over to this young lady and strike up a conversation with her. And they talked for about 5 minutes or so. And the woman who's a member of the church, she said, "Is it hard for you to do your little girl's hair?" And here she was, her hands were drawn up, and she said, "Yes, it really is. It's difficult for me to do that." The woman who's a member of the church said, "You know, you don't know me. I mean, we've just met. But would it be all right with you if I went over to your house just one day a week so that I could fix your little girl's hair?" And her eyes lit up and she said, "You know, I would love for you to do that." And they kept talking for a little while, and then the woman who's a member of the church, she said, "Now here's a card. It tells you where I worship. And it tells you when we meet for worship. And I'd like for you to come by and visit with us. I think that you'd find the people there very warm and welcoming. Love for you to come." And not long after that, that lady came, along with her little girl, came to services. And then, not long after that, Bible studies, home Bible studies, were set up with this young lady. And she became a member of the Lord's church. Now, that happened a long time ago. Now, that little girl, she's grown up. She's obeyed the gospel, and she's still faithful even today. And you know, it all started with a sacrifice of service to others. And a Christian saying, "Can I do your little girl's hair?" You know, we never know what a sacrifice of service to others, what it might lead to. But what we do know for sure is, God sees it, and God accepts it. And it's praiseworthy in His eyes. So let us offer unto God the sacrifice of service unto others. Do not forget to do good and to share. And then, you knew I was going to get to this. Let us offer unto God the sacrifice of ourselves. In the book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Romans 12, beginning with verse 1, Paul said, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." You know, we've talked many times about that word transformed, how it comes from the Greek word metamorpho, from which we get our word metamorphosis, and it has to do with change. And we are to be a changed people. As Christians, we are not to be conformed to this world any longer. That's the way we used to live, but we are changed. We are a transformed people. And not being conformed to this world, we dress differently from this world. We act differently. We talk differently from the world. And we present our bodies, ourselves, as a living sacrifice unto God. You know, I think that we know that we are to be sacrificial offerings unto God. But the problem is that sometimes we want to wriggle off of the altar. In the book of Philippians, chapter 2, remember the context, Paul is in prison. And he doesn't know for sure which way it will go for him. If he will continue to live or if he will die being executed by the Roman government. Paul has, when he writes this book, a certain level of confidence that he will continue to live. But he just doesn't know that for sure. And so it's in that setting that he said in Philippians 1, verse 21, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Now with that in mind, Philippians 2, 16 through 18, he said, "Holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me." Paul said here, if I must die, being poured out on the altar of your faith and service, having been executed by the Roman government, then I'll rejoice because of that. And I suggest that you rejoice with me. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul knew that he had come to the end of the way. 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8, he said, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved His appearing." And when Paul said in 2 Timothy 4, verse 6, "I am already being poured out as a drink offering," he was clearly speaking of the sacrifice of himself. Now just imagine someone who is a Christian asking, "Just how little can I do for the Lord and still get by? You know, just how little can I pray? How little can I study the Scriptures? Just how little can I attend worship services like this and gospel meetings? Just how little can I do for the Lord and still get by?" Folks, as priests, and we are priests, as priests we ought to want to do all that we can for the Lord, and we ought to want to do the very best that we can for the Lord. After all, didn't Paul say that we are to present our bodies, ourselves, as a living sacrifice unto the Lord? And then finally, offer unto God the sacrifice of others. You say, "Well, I'm glad to hear you get to that part. I don't like to think so much about offering myself as a sacrifice. Glad to hear you talk about offering the sacrifice of others. But what do I mean?" The humorous author by the name of Artemus Ward, he was writing about the war between the states from the standpoint of the North, and he said, "We must continue to wage this war." He said, "I've already had to give up or sacrifice in the war an uncle, a couple of cousins, really several other distant relatives." And he said, "I want you to know that I stand ready, if necessary, to send my brother-in-law that he might die in this conflict as well." Now that puts a little different twist on offering the sacrifice of others. That's not what we mean. What do we mean? Well, we mean what Paul meant in Romans chapter 15 and verse 16. When he said that I might be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Now you'll notice that I have two words highlighted in this verse: ministering and offering. There are some translations which say that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable. The offering up of the Gentiles. Now look at these two words. First, the word ministering, as defined by Thayer, the Greek word translated ministering, to minister in the manner of a priest, minister in the priestly service, and then there says, of the preaching of the gospel, as in Romans 15, verse 16. Arnon Gingrich defines the word translated ministering as to serve the gospel as a priest. That is, to minister the gospel, the preaching of the gospel, and you're serving the gospel as a priest. And then there's the word translated offering. Thayer says it means that which is offered, a gift, a present. And then Thayer says, in Romans 15:16, it means the sacrifice which I offer in turning the Gentiles to God. The sacrifice which I offer in turning the Gentiles to God. And so here's the way that I've summed this up. It was as if Paul was a priest in the officiating at a sacrifice when he taught others the truth. Through the teaching of the truth, he turned the hearts of the Gentiles to God and thus made them an acceptable offering to God. All right, now you can do the same kind of thing as a Christian and as a priest. You can take the Word of God and you can present the Scriptures to a person who is lost. And in doing this, you might turn the heart of this person to God, convert this person. And in doing this, it is as though you are serving as a priest in turning this person, offering this person to God. Let's think about the investment of our time, the investment of our energies in the souls of others, teaching them the truth that they might turn their hearts unto God. We have a member of the church there in Springdale where I preach. His name is Brent Kilgore. Now, some of you may know him. And Brent, for a long time, has just been willing to talk to other people about the gospel. Back just a few years ago, he talked to a friend of his named Houston O'Hara, and he converted him. And now Houston is wanting to be a gospel preacher. And then not long after he taught and converted Houston, he turned his attention toward a girl that he was dating at the time, Whitney Madison. And now Whitney, through his efforts, now Whitney has obeyed the gospel, and now they're married. Brent and Whitney have married, and Whitney is just as solid in the faith as she can be. You know, the church in the first century, it grew numerically, grew rapidly. And I think there are certain factors that contributed to that numerical growth. But among those factors, we have this. Those Christians in the first century, they were willing to offer unto God themselves as a living sacrifice unto God. But they were also willing to offer the sacrifice of others. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, those who were scattered abroad went about everywhere preaching the word of the Lord. Comment was made by, I believe it was Brother Hancock this morning, about inviting people to the gospel meeting. Hope that we'll do that and that we'll work together in this gospel effort. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the Apostle Paul was seeking to stir up the Corinthian brethren that they might complete the collection for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem, which they had started about a year ago, but they had become negligent. So he referred them to the example of the Macedonian churches. And he said, and this they did, not as we had hoped, but first gave themselves to the Lord, and then to us by the will of God. Paul said the reason that the brethren in Macedonia were doing so well in this matter of giving is because they decided, first of all, to give themselves to the Lord. You know, when we extend the invitation of the Lord as we're doing right now, we're inviting people not only to accept salvation that is in Christ, the forgiveness of sins. But also, we're inviting people to come and to make known that they're making a commitment to the Lord. And from this day forward, they're giving themselves unto Jesus Christ. And you know, if people will do that, then the rest will follow. If you'll first of all give yourself, then you'll want to offer unto God the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of your lips. You'll want to offer unto God the sacrifice of your possessions. If you first of all give yourself, you'll want to offer the sacrifice of service to others, doing good and sharing. And you will want to offer the sacrifice of others in teaching them the truth. And it is for sure that if you'll respond to the invitation this morning, that you will, if you're really committing yourself to the Lord, that you'll repent of your sins. You'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, the Son of God, and be baptized into a relationship with Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. If you've made that start, but you've fallen away, then please come back and have the blessings of Christ restored to you again. We'd like to pray with you and to pray for you. Whatever your need may be, please come while we stand and sing.